I got too many papers here. Well, I'm very happy to be here with my wife, Helen. But then we also have a couple of ladies who are, well, they kind of follow us around, I think. And that, my wife's name is Helen, and there's Helen and Donna. Did I get it right? Oh, I got it wrong. You don't want to be here? Your mother is in Milton? Your daughter's in Milton. You see, I don't get it straight unless I ask ladies to straighten me up so I can find out what we're doing. Well, anyway, I've already given a copy of this to one of our wonderful Christian ladies in the Bible class this morning. A wonderful Christian lady from Texas, down that way. My daughter Julie went to school there with her, and she sent this to my daughter, and my daughter says, "You've got to see this, Dad. This is really good." So I'm going to read it to you, okay? It's entitled The Bible. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. We read it to be wise, believe it to be saved, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. And at the bottom of this says, the author is unknown. Well, if that's his name, author unknown, he did a good job. And so I passed a copy of this onto one of the Christian ladies here. And I'm sure it's on the board. Okay. I offered to have these two ladies come and let me drive them here as well. But somehow they didn't want me to do that. So, but they're here. And that's wonderful. And we have a good time together for sure. Well, this is a special day, isn't it, for the fathers? But we have a real important, wonderful, giving type father. And that's our Father in heaven, isn't it? All the way. Well, I'm going to touch on some of this today because I'm preaching to myself and with you, and I won't go on way too long, but I hope you'll understand what we're talking about here today. Husbands, fathers, this is your day. And I want to have us talk a little bit about what is the husband's role, even as a spiritual leader. And thank you for reading from Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. So I want to touch on just a few things. Fulfillment in his and hers, their roles together. The husband, it's scripture says, is head of his wife. Christ is head of the church. Now, Jesus isn't the type of person who came from heaven to be in our world, but he said, I came not to just have you deal with me. I came here to serve sacrificially, love, even for the sinners. That's why I have come here. But then people were asking, how in the world could he ever be the Father's Son, Jesus? And he goes and eats and deals with sinners. Well, that's all of us, isn't it? There's not one of us that are absolutely perfect. It's Christ that wants us to know that. He has an unselfish love for every person. And if you're sitting here today and you think, oh, I don't know, I can't be sure of this, I haven't done some right things, some things have happened in my life, there's a wonderful gift waiting for all of us, even now while we're here. All those, any sins, any things that we're just not pleased about, Jesus is giving us the gift of salvation, and all those sins are wiped away. What a beautiful gift that is. And so we as individuals want to do what's right. We want to reach out to others and let them know that we're Christians and we care for you. And if you're not a believer, we just really want you to know that we care for you. We want you to go to heaven. We want you to be given the gift like we have of living through eternity with our Lord. And so that's what's so good about it. We have husbands and wives here today. Now let me say this. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about that wonderful saying from the Bible itself. As for me and my house, somebody tell me what they're going to say. Go ahead, speak up. We will serve the Lord. And that is a promise from us, isn't it? That we'll do that. And we need to live in such a way that we have the good examples of how Jesus reached out and helped so many people. People who were dying, people who were sick, people who had leprosy and all those things. People, those lepers, they were turned down because they had to be kicked out of the family so that that disease wouldn't bother them and have them go that way. And Jesus reached out and took care of all that. He was at work. He was doing what his Father told him to do. He said, I don't do it just myself. I do it because my Father wants me to do this. He tells me what to do. And so it is a wonderful thing. Well, I got to get rid of some of these papers. Okay. I've got written down in here, and I thought about this all this past week. This being Father's Day, I would like to talk just for a short while about the role of the husband as a spiritual leader of his family. Well, we have already heard from Ephesians chapter 5, submitting to one another. Why? Because you're the one in charge, Dad? Well, not really. It works this way. Spiritual leaders, husbands and wives, live and love and work together. And it's very humble. It is important that it be that way. In the passage, we have statements of the responsibilities of the wives to their husbands and the husbands to their wives. There are some places today where, because of the changing role of women, that necessarily there is a changing role. And that creates a certain amount of friction sometimes. And there's unrest. Sometimes we as men do not comprehend what a good woman means when she starts talking about some of the things that she does talk about. We men don't always get it. It may sound like she's a woman's liberationist, but I have discovered that very few women who talk about those things are nearly as extreme as some of those things we see in the news media. What many women are feeling and what they're saying is this: I want to have a sense of loving you as my husband, and also I have a sense of accomplishment in serving the way God would have me serve too. Well, if we as men do not understand where they're coming from, all of that, it may sound like the woman is renouncing her interest in her family and her interest in her marriage. And I believe this passage gives us a very clear concept of what our role as men is. Now, the beginning point for us as men is to understand our role, and for us as church leaders to teach other men what their roles are as well. Because if that is performed correctly, then the wife is going to be able to fulfill her role appropriately. But many of the problems that get focused on women who are not fulfilling their roles properly, in fact, due to men who are not fulfilling their role correctly as well. In the Bible, it states in verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body," this was all read to us this morning, "of which he is the Savior. Now then," when we talk about the husband being the head of his wife, there are some subjects that we are not dealing with. We are not talking about superiority or inferiority. We are not talking about intelligence and unintelligence. We're not dealing with the subject of rights, and rights have their very beginning and very popular subject going on in this day. Well, rights are important. Not what is his position or what his place is, but to understand what our role as men and husbands are. Our role is that to be head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. And in 1 Corinthians 11 and 3, it says, "Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." It's saying there that it's an orderly way for God's universe to function the way it really should. And if we stop to think about it and what it means for Christ to be the head of the church, we have a very important example, because Christ is head of the church and he loves the church. Now, the church isn't this building. The church is our hearts. We're the temples of our Lord. And that is so wonderful that he gives us that. Temples were very special in the Old Testament. God loved that. And those temples were built. But in the New Testament, here we are with that example. And so, I have never, ever had a single time felt that Christ was bullying me. Never. He did what was right for us. Jesus has not used us to do things that he didn't want to do himself. No. But to the contrary, he has called upon us to do the very thing that he himself overcame and dealt with and faced all sorts of problems. The Hebrew writer says that he was tempted in every point, and that becomes a little difficult to comprehend at times, that Jesus actually felt everything that we feel on this planet. That's a big statement. When you're talking about the everything that we feel, that's a big statement. And when you're talking about the human race, for that matter, it's a pretty big statement there as well, when you're talking about any one of us. But to understand God's or Christ's role as head of the church, we must look at the way he takes himself as the head of the church. It's beautiful. He does not rule the church with clenched fist. He does not force anything on the church. He leads. He leads the church. He is the head of the church. And that becomes the primary pattern for all of us men to follow. The Apostle Paul says, in learning how to relate with our wives and other people as well, we're not to order our wives to do a certain thing. No. It's more important to be like Christ and lead in a humble way. Not to force her, to lead her as, yes, another spiritual leader. There are congregations who have groups of women that really do a good job in following what the Bible says and learning more and reaching out in love to others. We all have different gifts, don't we? Some have more than others. That's me. Some have more than others. But the thing is, we need to live and give a good example to people who are really believers. And when they see in us and we tell them, oh, I'm so happy to be a Christian, to follow my Lord, to live here on earth the way he wants me to live, and to not only here, but in heaven throughout eternity. It's wonderful. Yes, we're all going to die at some time, but the thing is, we go on to something better. I think of, as I mentioned in the Bible class this morning, I think of Fred and Marlene, Marlene being my sister, and Fred battling cancer again right now. But he's got such a good way of looking at things. Even if I have to die, he said, I'm looking forward to meeting the Lord face to face. It's a good way to feel. And I think so much of him. Well, I've got more pages here, but I'm not going to go on and on. It just so happens that when Harold phoned me and asked me if I would fill in for a few Sundays during the time of the summer, he said, would you do one or two or so? And I said, well, there's five of them there that you're asking for. So I just may be back about five different times. And then you can kick me out if you want. Not really. We love one another. And if I'm your enemy, you gotta love me. Okay? Anyway, I'm going to close it off right there. And it's always good. Now, Don Smith, when he found out that I was going to be coming and being with you folks, he made a very good statement. He said, you know, I'm busy going here and going there and marrying people and one thing and another. He says, but I'll tell you what, I really enjoy those people at OMA. He said, they're all so friendly. And it's really great. And you're going to have a good time, Don, there as well. So I feel that way. And so I'm going to stop it right there, and I'll turn it back. Do I go back to you now?
Yes.
Okay. And I brought my little slip that's got all these times that I might be able to come. Thank you.